Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, welcome. We're in chapter 53. And we're in the, always the good news of Yeshayahu, the talk of the redemption. This chapter is a little more esoteric, meaning it's a little bit more difficult to, we're talking about the future redemption, but it's not so clear specifically what each verse refers to. Most people say it refers to the way the Gentile world looks at the Jewish people before redemption. In other words, there are a lot of anti-Semites and a lot of people in the world that don't believe in the power of the Jewish people, and they will be surprised. There will be a lot of Muslims and a lot of Christians and other peoples that will be shocked when the moment of truth comes. I think what happens is our society sets up a certain image for what's a good person. You know, like if you're working to save the world and the ozone layer and you know, hug the whale, and so then you're like you're a loving person, you're a giving person. And a person can really think that they've done all the good things, but there's more to life. In other words, sometimes it's easier to save the world than to be a good person, to be a good neighbor, to be caring, giving, and care about people on a daily basis. So let's take a look here. Mi ha'min l'shmu senu, who would believe that when the news will be heard? Uzroya Hashem al mi niglasa, and Hashem's arm. People, they don't see Hashem. They see Hashem is in the background, like he created the world, and now he's doing his own thing. And when the time for redemption comes, Hashem will take action. They will see his, whether there will be nations that will come to fight against the Jewish people, and Hashem will destroy these nations, or then we will see the hand of Hashem. In the Haggadah, when we talk about the 10 plagues, it also talks about, in other words, we talk about the finger, you know, with the, you know, with the, each plague, you know, with the 10, the finger is a finger when we dip it in the cup, and so 10 fingers is a hand. And so this idea that we see the hand of Hashem, it means that Hashem, we live in a world where you have to look to see Hashem, but when the messianic time comes, Hashem will reveal himself, and we will see the hand of God. We'll see the, not just the hand, but the whole arm, the Zroya. The hand of Hashem will be revealed. And what about the Jewish people? V'yal k'yonik l'fanav. We will be like a root, like a small root that was in the ground, a kishoris, and like a root that was in a dried out land that... We've established these roots of faith, and from our, these roots will grow a beautiful building. Lo Torah lo. But right now, if you look at the state of the Jewish people, it's not a beautiful vision. We're survivors. We're a remnant people. A lot of people we're spread out. We're not as healthy as the people as we'd like to be. We'd like to be all observant, all honest, all good. And we're right now, we're just a few people that we'd like every chair in the room to be full, right? You know, that's people are doing other good things, I'm sure. Right now, we're just the root, but we keep the root going. You know, this, you never know the power of the Torah that's learned. Is that it keeps the it's that one root that keeps Judaism intact. And so right now we see a small sapling, or we see a root here, sometimes people don't see the vision, v'nireyu v'lo lamara, but people see it, but it doesn't appear to them to be significant. Verse 3, nivza, people have rejected Judaism. They say, well, it doesn't seem as popular, it's not as The shame of it is that even Jews, they look into other places. They part of the problem is that they feel that they are familiar with Judaism, young Jews, and they don't see the spirituality there. They're not exposed to real Judaism. They're exposed to Jewish food, or they're exposed to Jewish humor, but they're not exposed to Torah. They're not exposed to their own people. And so when they go looking for causes in spirituality, sometimes the last place they look is in Judaism. Mm-hmm. And So because in their own eyes, Judaism is nibzeh, it's embarrassed, v'chadal ishim, and it's rejected by people, ish ma'kavos, and it's a lot of pain. And when you talk to them about Judaism, is oy, you know, it's a holocaust, and it's can't do this, and you can't do that, v'yodu holy, and it's full of illnesses, and there's always a problem with Mestatzer Panim Imenu, and it's like Hashem's hiding from us. Nivze v'lo chashavnu, and people don't think of that as the they've never put too much thought into it. Verse 4. Achein chalinu hu nose. And the Jewish people carry the wounds. They carry the wounds of the society. They carry the wounds of the anti-Semitism, umakoveinu, and the pain has been their burden. Vanachu chishavna negua, and the Jewish people, most people say this is how Gentiles look at the Jewish people, that we are the punching bag, or we are the afflicted people. Mucha elokim, and not only that, some of the Gentiles, they say that we're punished by God. That's the umauna. And verse 5, Huma cholmu pashenu, but they don't realize that we had sinned, we had rebelled against Hashem, and he had decreed that we go through exile. Meduka mavanusenu, and it's because of our sins that we haven't yet reached the stage of redemption. That's upcoming. In other words, we're living through... we're right now in Golus, which is exile, and it's exile is not fun. It's a period of we have a lot of enemies in the world and a lot of troubles in the world, but we know that that Hashem keeps His promises, and there will be a redemption, and that there's a purpose in what we're going through, and we have to do we have to fix things. You hear this in Hasidic thought a lot of the tikkun, you know, that so. It's funny, like the Reform Judaism, they said, well, let's fix the world, you know, but we have to fix ourselves. We have a lot of, we have to make ourselves, the real work in life is to make oneself a better person. We have different things that are inside of us and that push for our attention. We have a spiritual nature, and then we have an animal nature, and so our job in life is to make ourselves better people, is to work on ourselves and to perfect ourselves. And that's what we're in Golus for, which is to live in a world that's challenging and to overcome it. And,
Does this mean that we need to redeem ourselves before Mashiach comes, or will Mashiach take care of us?
So that's a good question. In the ideal world, if we were to redeem ourselves, Mashiach would be here tomorrow.
Okay.
The question is, if we never get there, will we just, if a certain amount of time, if it just doesn't happen on its own, then Hashem is going to send... some people learn that it's a... We build on what previous generations have done. So that if in every generation, people have striven and they add on and they do more, so that... it's just a little bit more. We're already at the end of time, and so there's less that needs to be done to push us over to get to that stage. But in the ideal world, we need to do it. We need to, some people will learn that the Mashiach will be the leader that will help us do it.
Mm-hmm.
The word Mashiach comes from the word, it's Meshuach. It means oil, anointed. And there's the idea that the person who's anointed will... sometimes our challenge has been that we have friction with one another. In other words, that the Second Temple was destroyed because Jews fought with one another, we don't get along, there's too much friction. And the Mashiach, the anointed, means that there's oil. The oil keeps away friction. That's how an engine works. It has the oil. And so when the Mashiach comes, he's going to help us all get along. He's the one who's anointed, who's going to help us work together with each other instead of in friction with each other. Mm-hmm. So it could be that if we don't earn it on our own, where Hashem says, all right, you've succeeded, now I'll send the Mashiach will be that leader that will help us fix the problem. If we get inspired, if we have the right person to inspire us, then we can all work together with the... And this is kind of understood over here. Musar Shlomeinu Olam, we were pained because of our sins and our lack of peace, ubechubroso nirfalanu, and we need to be healed. Verse 6, Kulanu Kitzon Te'inu, we are like lost sheep. I don't know if that's where they got that from, that expression, like a lost sheep, but I guess if you see a sheep that's lost, it really looks like, you know, you know that he needs his shepherd to tell him where to go to take care of him. And so we, like a sheep that's like strayed from the flock. It's
really? Mm-hmm. Can I just comment on my translation here in verse 5? At the end of verse 5, it says, and with his stripes we were healed. Well, if the we are the other nations, I keep thinking of the Holocaust and the stripes that they had on their clothing, you know, when they were...
Oh, I see. I think he means, though, with his wounding, with the stripes, meaning like the... with our being hit.
Oh, well, that would be strike. This is stripe. That's what this translation says. Anyway, that was something...
That's an interesting...
Stripes, when you're flogged,
you get
stripes.
Oh, okay.
Does that mean like your skin gets striped or like a sort of...
I'm picturing the Holocaust when they found them and with all the stripes that they were wearing.
This sense is that with the afflictions that the Jewish people have undergone in the exile, we will be healed, so to speak. And we were like a lost sheep, ish l'darko panino, and each person went on a different way. Each person chose, you know, a different way. There are Jews that wanted communism. There are Jews that wanted Zionism. There are Jews that wanted socialism. Each one had a different approach. Hashem ifgiu bo'eth avon kulanu. And Hashem heard this, listened to our prayer to be healed. Verse 7, Nigash v'hunana. And the Jewish people was oppressed. We were afflicted, and people rebuked us. V'lo yiftak pir. We didn't say anything. Chesel etevak yuval, and we were led like a sheep to the slaughter. Karacho lifnegazel, or like a lamb that cheered. Like the Jewish people, the different societies we've been in. We've enriched these societies, and they took the wealth from the Jew, and they didn't give anything back for it. We're like they sheared the sheep. Hello, Yiftach Pev, and we wouldn't open his mouth. Again, there's a question as to who the who in this sense is the Jewish people in the exile. What the experience has been, where we've been like a lost sheep, where we've gone from one country to another, where we've been afflicted, where the countries that taken advantage of us, and we haven't, we've gone silently, like we're just happy to be tolerated, so to speak. It's an interesting study that if you study the ups and downs of different countries, a lot of them have had to do with when they gave freedom to the Jews that were in their midst. It's like Spain and Portugal were very important nations until they expelled the Jews, and then they went down, you know, since then. Even countries like, you know, Greece, or, you know, today we look at, it's just a backward country, you know, but when they had Jews who were there and they treated them appropriately, then they were important nations. But once they've expelled their Jews, they're no longer significant and they no longer play a role. And so it's no coincidence that the United States is a world power and it happens to be the home of one of the largest Jewish communities. And so it's just interesting how the importance of the world seems to follow where the Jew, you know, which country plays host to the Jewish people. Ches, 8. Me'oto mishpat lokak. From being locked up and for judgment he is taken. Ves doro mi yishoket. And who will tell his generation? Ki nigzem eretz chayim. Because we were cut off from the land of Israel, which is the land of the living. Mipesha ami nagalamo. Because of the sins of my people. And Tess. Ve'yiten es rishoyim kivro. And person gave himself to the grave of the wicked. What does it mean, he gave his grave? I think he accepted his fate. He accepted his punishment. That's the usher of most of, and he gave his wealth. Alo chamas, even though he didn't take it from anyone. Lo mir mativ, and he didn't... It's almost like an accepting of fate. It's almost like there is an idea with the Holocaust that the most prominent response is that just silence. Like, you know, it says by Aaron when his sons were taken that he was quiet. And there's an idea that, you know, there are things in life that some people would say, well, we can't complain because who is there to complain to, right? But there is someone to complain to, really, but there's an idea that we don't understand everything, and we know that Hashem is a loving God, and there's a idea of accepting in silence, of just, you know, there are things that will happen that we don't fully understand, and our reaction is that we accept the will of Hashem. That's the power of the Jew, that he accepts what life puts his way. And, 10. Vashem chafetz dako, and Hashem, for whatever reason, tests us. He crushes us. Hecholi, he makes us sick. Im tasim Hashem nasho. And what happens if we accept, survive this test? So then, yirizera, then this person will see that he will have descendants, he will have children. Yarech yamim, and the children will have long life. Vachafetz Hashem biyadu yatsliach. And Hashem will prosper him. So it's almost like it's predicting this long exile, this painful exile, this shearing of the sheep, where we'll go from nation to nation, and we won't have deserved the terrible afflictions that we will have gone through, but by accepting this role to survive the different challenges that we will have. In the end, we will see we will have descendants, and we will be successful. And again, it's going to be leading up to the picture that it's going to paint in the next chapter of the redemption. But it's kind of describing the exile over here. Verse 11. Ma'amo nafsho yira. A person who's worked hard, amo is to work, from the work of his soul, he will see. Yispa, he will be satisfied. Bedaito, yatik sadike, and the righteous person will acknowledge the righteousness of Hashem. Abdi rab mebonusam hu yisful, and he will carry the burden of his mistakes, of whatever he's done. And what will be the end? What is the end of all of this? Lakein achalach lo berabin, and therefore, when the there'll be a real question, and that is in the. The Gentiles will wonder at the time of redemption that it seems like there's this chosen people that, you know, that we're getting, the Jews will get like favorable status, and there'll be this question in their mind, what did they do? Why are they getting such a great reward? And it's only because they never paid attention to what we've gone through and what we've seen and what the loyalty that the Jewish people have had to Hashem and how we've carried our burden. So therefore, the Jewish people will be allotted. There's an idea that there'll be according to many, there could be a war when Mashiach comes, like Armageddon, maybe the final war. But whatever it will be, whether it'll be a nuclear war or whether it's not so clear whether there has to be a war. But it seems that when mankind comes to its final challenges. It's compared to a woman that has a baby, that she, before she gives birth, she has pangs. she has pains. And that some, in some ways, it's the most painful thing that a person has is to go through labor. So the labor pains are compared to what the world will go through before it reaches messianic times. And after that comes the prize, which is the child or the... So the question will be is, why do the Jewish people get the bounty? Why will they be getting the prize? So this verse is saying, well, look at Jewish history. Look at how the Jewish people have held up. And we have to be really proud of ourselves and our forefathers. If you study history, how the Jewish people, what they've lived through, you know, the strength of the... I mean, just in this century, you know, the survivors, you know, what they saw, their families were taken away from them, their mothers and their fathers, and they were torn away, and they saw the worst in people. And they could have lived a life of luxury. Most of them dedicated themselves to rebuilding the Jewish people. And many of them married late because it was after the war, and it was they weren't healthy people, and they gave over their efforts. They worked very hard for their children. The very high percentage of what we enjoy today came from the Holocaust survivors. They don't have studies. You know, you could look into, you know, who gave the big donations to the shuls and the schools and the, but there's no question that a lot of it came from these people who would have been excused to live life out and just after what they went through. There should be no wonder the Jewish people is an amazing people. You know, they've survived very great pogroms and expulsions and anti-Semitism, and they remain loyal to Hashem, and they remain committed to Hashem. And therefore, when Mashiach does come, then they are going to be rewarded. They are going to be first in the queue, so to speak, when... we don't live, like I said, when it comes time for Hashem to reveal himself, when that moment in history arrives, those people that have invested in doing the right things, they will be rewarded and publicly. And then all of a sudden, people who were wondering, you know, it'll be on the news, like people that, all of a sudden they'll notice us, they'll notice what's been happening. And the he will take, you know, the plunder or the wealth of the world will go to the righteous people. Shal tachas, because asher hara lamas nafsho, because what we had given up our lives for, that's peshoim nimna. Vahu cheta rabbi nasa peshoim nefkia. And we carry the burden, so to speak, of the sinners. We carry the burden of a very small amount of people in the world actually do the right things. There are a lot of people that are either they live very selfish lives, or they take from others, or they don't do they don't lead the kind of lives they could. And it's the few who do the right things that make up for everybody else. And at that time, then the world will know. Okay, we'll begin the next chapter. But I will probably start it again. This is a famous chapter because it's read on two different Haftorahs. One of them is in Parshas Noach, where now we get back from the Golus, which is really the exile, to the redemption. And so the redemption is the good news that happens after all of the burden and the sins and the that we will have had. So over here it speaks to you know, sometimes it's a common theme, like if you've person has never had children, so how can they experience the joy of children? Or if a person was barren, or if they... So there's an idea that Hashem makes it up to people that have done what they are supposed to do. And we don't know how things happen or how... But over here it says there's a promise that Rani, sing a happy song. Now, who's going to sing a happy song? Anakara, a person that was sterile, that they never gave birth. They always wanted to have children. They wanted to experience that. The joy of the children or having children. Lo yilada, they never gave birth. So Hashem says that everything will be made up in the future. Pitzki Rina, let them sing a happy song. And lo cholu, and normally you can't have children unless you get pregnant first, unless you have birth pangs and you go through all that. There'll be this an experience. It's almost like in Egypt, there's a medrash that they had to throw their children into the sea, or the Egyptians seized the Jewish children and threw them in the sea. And the people felt these big loss that they had children, that they were taken away from them. And as far as they knew, they were killed. And there's a medrash that many of these children were taken away and cared for by the angels and came back to them, so to speak, like or reappeared. And they said, "Where did you come from?" You know, where, you know, there's an idea somehow that our loss is that we'll be made whole again. All of a sudden, ki rabbi b'nei shomema, the one that was desolate, the one that was dried out, the one that was barren, and this refers to the land of Israel and the Jewish people, will be more and greater mibnei bula, from the one that was married and had so many children, Omar Hashem. In other words, in the end of time, the world will look much different than the way we see it. It won't be the one that we live in a world of darkness where we don't see the reality. There's a different reality out there than what we envision. And so the reality of that time, where it could be somebody that never had children or was barren, will have more children and will have that joy because of their there are many different ways in which this could happen. We don't, you know, whether it's in the mitzvos, whether it's in maybe there's other existences that we don't know of, but there's an idea that there'll be this happy future that we look forward to. Now, when we all come back to Israel, there won't be enough space for us all. They're just how are we going to fit there? So then he talks about opening the space, let's widen the space, let's increase the area so that Israel would become large enough to hold us all. And I want to take a look at it next week. It seemed more fun to get into the good news, you know, after the dreary carrying the sin and the burden and the exile and the mistreatment of the Gentiles, to get into the harbinger of the redemption that will come. This chapter here about how there's a lot of bitterness and a lot of challenges that when the Mashiach comes, we'll overcome it, and it'll be like a bad dream, so to speak, or it'll be, you look like on verse 7, he says, "Berega katan azavti," but it'll be like a short second. There was a short second that we were rejected, and then in great mercy, like Hashem will gather us in. In other words, the whole theme of it is these challenges that we have in the previous chapter of the exile and the gullus and the sickness and the burden, they'll be replaced by the beautiful future and the redemption and the happy song. Okay.
Thank you.
We look forward to it too.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.